You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Everyone well? Three of you are well, so that's good. We had a great day today. I mean, we had a great Sunday morning service today. Amazing time in the presence of God this morning. Thank you, Blake. And then we had our water baptism. We baptized 12 people today. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that. Bless the Lord. And it was really great to see everybody there. And so if you're visiting with us for the first time, please, we kind of do Sunday night a little bit different to our Sunday morning. We're kind of a little bit more less structured on a Sunday night, and in that regard there. But we do have kids church in the back as well. If you have children with you, we will give you an official welcome in a few moments. Wilson, I think we'll do that later on. Is that right? Okay. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I was just spending some time in prayer, just seeking the Lord what to talk about tonight, and He brought me to this particular chapter and brought me to this particular passage. Now, it's not, I guess, for a lot of Christians, a lot of churches today, it's not something that's often discussed, and I guess for personal reflection, you can do that, but I'm finding more and more that the Church of Jesus Christ today has become, what's the word I'm looking for, has become asleep when it comes to spiritual matters. And that is not a criticism of any Christians or any church whatsoever. But I find that nowadays it's a lot difficult to discuss deep spiritual matters with fellow believers at the risk that, you know, it just doesn't make sense or people think it's a little bit hooky-cooky. But one thing you discover about the life of Jesus Christ when you study it and His disciples was that they were always at the forefront or always on the edge of something in the spiritual realm breaking into the natural. And there's always this confrontation between, not just between good and evil, but between the power of God and the power of darkness. There's a collision that was always taking place between God and the demonic realm, right? I heard someone say one time, maybe it was Keith Green in one of his songs, that the devil's greatest power is to make you think he doesn't exist. If he can convince you that he doesn't exist, that he's just a figment of someone's imagination or it's just a super spiritualization, then oftentimes that's when he becomes even more powerful in our lives. And if we fail to believe that he does exist, that according to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil came. Did you hear that? Jesus said the devil came. He never left, by the way. The devil came to what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. So Satan has an assignment over your life. As much as God has a purpose for you, God has a plan for you. On the reciprocal of that, Satan has a plan for your life, and his plan is to destroy your life, to kill whatever is in there. And have you ever discovered for your own self, I know for myself, that when I really wanted to get with God, I thought, I'll pray more, I'll read the Bible more, and prior to that, I have no problem, you know, kind of staying up till 2 in the morning. As soon as I read the Bible, boom, it's the greatest sedative on the earth. I fall asleep. Or try to pray. I just can't pray, you know. How many of you ever experienced that? Anybody? Just give me a wave so I don't feel alone, right? Thank you. And how many of you have decided to, I'm really going to walk with God. I'm really going to do the right thing by God. I'm going to follow the ways of Christ. And all of a sudden, temptations come left, right, and center. And your mind is going crazy or tormented. And you're saying, how can I get right when the day I want to get right, all these things happen. Or the day you want to go fasting, that's when your friends start to invite you, who have never invited you for a long time, to buy you lunch. They decide, I'm going to buy you lunch this week. Anybody experienced that? What's that all about? Is it just coincidence? You know, Jesus wanted us to be aware that we live in this world, though we're not of this world. But also, one of the most amazing things about the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ wasn't just the fact that he was a great preacher and that people saw authority in his preaching, but the authority of his preaching was demonstrated by the way Jesus treated the spiritual realm. Or in fact, the way the spiritual realm or the demonic realm collided with the life of Jesus. I find myself in myself that whenever I pursue God and I get deeper in God, that's when, excuse the expression, hell seems to break loose. Who knows what I'm talking about? Right? Why is that? You know, the church in the 70s had become incredibly demon conscious. There's demon at every corner. You know, demon at every pot and vase or tree and et cetera, et cetera. We became so demon conscious that we cast out devils. And then later on, we started blaming the devil for every choices that we made. And if you remember, if you've been a Christian long enough, you know what I'm talking about. The devil made me do it, right? And so we started casting out devils, even though devils didn't exist there. I think the devil just got scared turning up to church then. I think he's back. Or maybe he never left. And so from a Western context, I guess it's a lot more difficult to really articulate some of these things. But if I took you on a mission field and we have to go into a village, and I'm sure some of you have been in the mission field at some point in time in your life, and you've heard stories, and I'm sure you've read the books where people have gone into villages, and there are witches there, and there are warlocks there. I mean, when I was living in England, my pastor there, who was my mentor at that time as well, he was dedicated to become a warlock or a witch doctor in his region, because his father was a chief sorcerer, and so was his mother. They were from Africa, originally from Nigeria, and from Lagos, and the power of witchcraft in the demonic realm was so strong in those areas, and it still is to this day. And it's really quite eye-opening. I remember him telling me stories. I remember, you know, when we were kind of sort of pioneering the church there, the kind of stuff that we saw and how people, you know, would come to church and they just normal as everybody else. And then when the Spirit of God just began to minister, you can see people just begin to manifest, or the demons that are in their lives just begin to manifest. You know, what's that all about? Is that kind of just hooky-kooky kind of stuff and fictional thing? No, it's a reality of the Word of God. To deny ourselves of understanding the spiritual realm and the power that is at work in the spiritual realm is denying ourselves of the fullness of the authority of Christ that is within us. So if I'm going to be the kind of Christian that walks in the fullness of the authority of Jesus, I also need to be aware of what is going on from the perspective of the demonic realm that is trying to infiltrate, influence, and impact my life and the lives of others. Sometimes Christians would come to me and say, how do we do this? You know, I've been telling this person what to do and all that stuff, and they're just not doing the right thing. They're just going nuts about these things. What do? I can't help them. I said, pray. So why is prayer so important? Because prayer is something that you do when you have no power to do anything else in the flesh. So we recognize that prayer is not just important, but it's powerful in the spiritual realm, right? So when your prayer goes to the spiritual realm, tell me, how does it work? Your prayer, you pray at your bed and you kneel and say, Lord, bless this person, bless that person, or God, just have a breakthrough in someone's life. I pray that they get healed. What do you think happens with your prayer? Your prayer, does it just go up to God and God says, you're a good child. I'm going to give you what you prayed for. Is that what happens to your prayers? Is that what happens in spiritual realm? Daniel gave us an incredible insight in prayer, because when he prayed for about 20 days, the Bible tells us that an angel came on the 20th day and said to Daniel, on the first day that you prayed, God heard you. Now, here's the good news, folks. The first day you pray, the first moment you pray, God hears you. How cool is that? But then he said, but the prince of Persia has delayed and fought, and God had to send his angels to disarm them so that the answer to your prayer could be manifest on the earth. So a lot of times, I reckon what happens when we pray and we see delays in our prayer is because there's warfare happening in the heavenly realms with regards to your prayer points. How cool is that? When you're praying, you're actually sending these ballistic missiles in the heavenly realms, and there's war that's going on there. So your prayer is not just some nice prayer for God to hear you. When God hears you, Satan and all the demonic forces in hell are doing everything they can to stop you getting the answer to your prayers. Come on, are you hearing me, right? It's a bit different, right? But it's the reality. Now, the significance of Christ in all of this in the New Testament context, by the way, just to let you know, that demonic activity did not stop just because Jesus went to heaven. It continues today. I've had a lot of personal experience in that over many, many years. And I've seen so many people. But the experience is not just so that it looks, you know, creepy things and things you see in horror movies. But it's more about people getting set free from all those things. I've seen people get set free over the years, you know, in the ministry. You know, we don't kind of sort of say, hey, you know, we come along, we'll cast your devils out kind of thing. But the reality is the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus Christ, you know, sets us free. Amen? Amen. So why is this significant for you today? You came to church, you know. I just want to just show you today that the most important thing is that Satan has a plan to destroy your life. But Jesus didn't finish the scripture by saying that. He said, but I came to give you life and life abundantly. Amen. Come on, somebody. Who knows? God gave you life abundantly. Give the Lord a hand for that, because Jesus' plan for you is not just opposite to Satan, but to give you an abundant life. So verse 26 of Luke chapter 8. It says, and then they sailed to the country of Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out in the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell before him, and with a loud voice saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me. I want you to just kind of sort of look at those words, right? Okay? I want you to understand here that Satan and all his demons have no power when they are faced with the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's an amazing thing, all right? Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Verse 30, Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons have entered him. In fact, Legion is 1,000. Okay? And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Now a herd of swine or pigs were feeding there in the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man, and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in the right mind. Somebody say, his right mind. And they were afraid. They also had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed.
I want you to understand here, this is a fairly extreme situation. Jesus had just landed on the beach here. And as soon as he lands on the beach, a man that was demon-possessed comes running towards him and falls at his feet. I don't want to ask this question, but I know at some point in your life, as a Christian, you would have experienced some kind of demonic oppressive state in some way, right? Just give me a nod or scratch your nose, or we don't want anyone to see that. Right? Who knows what I'm talking about? Just pretend it's for somebody else and not you. All right. But and that's a reality. And I have encountered a lot of things in my life that I knew, you doctors can't fix it, and medicine can't fix it, and they just you could use all kind of human kind of sort of solutions, but it just doesn't fix it until you get into the things of the Spirit and things are broken. So what is that all about? It's very, very clear the demonic activity exists also in the life, can exist also in the life of a believer. And so don't kind of think, you know, you love Jesus and you're with God, that you are beyond demonic influence, because we are not. Because he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Satan doesn't want you having a good life with God. Come on, are you there? Right? So the point that I want to make with you is that in Christ, you have the fullness of his authority and power. And so in this instance, when Jesus landed on that, you know, from the lake of Gennesaret or Gadarenes, this man comes running and falls at Jesus' feet. Now, I can tell you now, categorically speaking, that it's not the demons that brought him there. Because demons want to go as far away from Jesus as much as they can. They don't want to be around Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that these demons began to speak collectively and said, "Jesus, don't torment us." Jesus just landed. He wasn't tormenting them. He just landed there and all these demons started, "Don't torment us anymore, Jesus. What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" They recognize that Jesus is Lord and what his power is. I want you to know this. When it comes to breakthrough, when it comes to seeing things and chains broken in your life, you have to recognize this, that the demonic realm not only recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ, it also recognizes the power of Jesus. Right? The reason we don't see breakthrough is because maybe we don't recognize the power of Jesus as much as the demons do. They understand. And I want you to understand the third thing. Not only do they recognize the lordship of Jesus, not only do they recognize the power of Jesus, they actually cannot do anything without God's permission. Hallelujah. Did you just get that? That means that any demonic oppression you ever experience is always under the limitations that God gives them. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, you know, if you read the book of Job, you'll begin to discover that Satan went before God and said, "Let me sift him, let me deal with him." And God says, "You can do anything, but do not take his life." I'm going to give you a truth that Satan doesn't want you to know. He's on a leash. Oh, come on, somebody. He's on a leash. He cannot attack your life outside of what God allows him. Now, understand that Satan will always negotiate what to do in your life when it comes to attacking you. You might say, it's just all theological talk. That no, I've experienced this personally. I've seen people, set free over the years of ministry. I've seen people, you know, I remember one time, you know, one young man we were praying for and the demonic spirits began to speak through this young man. And he said, and this was in this church, and he said, I think you remember, some of you guys remember this, and it was at one of the altar times. And these demons started to speak and say, you know, you can't get rid of us. I said, really? I said, well, I'm not trying to, because Jesus is going to get rid of you. And he began to speak and he said, there's too many of us for you. And there was this conversation going on. I said, how many of you are there? And he goes, there's 36 of us. And I said, well, is that all? Jesus, at one word, can send a legion. I said to the demons, in Jesus' name, come out. And this young man was immediately set free from that. You know, what is that all about? You know, you don't have to. Jesus didn't go into a major fanfare with any of this stuff. He didn't give them permission. You know, as we look through this, we find that this legion made this man insane. He experienced supernatural strength. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, church, you know, this all supernatural stuff is not really that kind of sort of important today. But if you look at the movies that are making a lot of money today, it's all about the supernatural things. The X-Men, the mutants, and all that stuff, superheroes, that's supernatural stuff. That's superhuman stuff, you know? I'm not saying that's demonic. It's fantasy and all that stuff. But I want you to know tonight that no matter what kind of oppression you've experienced in your life, Jesus can break that in a moment. So what's the antidote? Linford, could you come up, please? And maybe the worship team could come up. So what is the key to this man being set free from 1,000 devils? I'll say this. Every good thing that God wants for you in your life, Satan wants to spoil. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your career. He wants to destroy your future. Are you with me, right? He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to do everything that he can to distract you and make you distant from the things of God. So what is the key here? I don't want to go into access point as to how the demonic realm can access your life, but maybe one time we can talk about that. But tonight I want to talk about the posture that we can have, especially as Christians. You might say, well, I don't think I got any of that. But God has equipped you and empowered you to be able to stand before these spiritual powers and be able to set people free. Understand that the call of God for the church is to set captives free. Amen. Amen. Are you in? Are you there?
Yep.
What's the posture? The Bible tells us that this man ran to Jesus. It wasn't the demons that ran to him. He wasn't dragged or driven by the devils. It was his will, his desire. It was his choice. The greatest gift that God gives you is your choice. But it's also your greatest weapon towards deliverance, towards being set free. People forget this. That we are the sum of our choices today. And I'm not minimizing the spiritual realm by saying these. This man from the Gadarenes ran to Jesus. He made a choice that he's going to go before God. And when he got to the presence of God, the demons started manifesting. Well, they didn't want to leave him, but he's the one that ran and fell before God. I want you to understand the posture of humility. He got to a place in his life where he said, I no longer want to be bound anymore by these things. He was so bound that when they tried to bind him with chains, he would break them. He'd lost his mind. He would run around naked through the town. He didn't go home anymore. And he lived among the tombs, among the graves. He was the village crazy guy. kids would have been afraid of him. I remember when I was growing up in the Philippines, there would be, because of the lack of medical attention, especially psychologically and psychiatrically, and oftentimes there are guys that are literally demon-possessed walking the streets. And I remember as kids, we would be running, and there would be a name of a particular guy. There was a young man, and he was a big kid. He was a big kid, and he was, he wasn't all there. And he was, you could tell that he would just get upset, and he would just get crazy, and it would hurt everybody that was around him. And his name was Dentor. Right? His name was Dento. I remember this as a kid. And we'd be walking around the streets, and the kids would say, "There's Dento," and we'd be running. Because we knew that if this young man would lose it, he will just hurt all of us. And you don't want to be caught in a dark alley with this guy, because this guy was crazy. Right? I didn't know much then, and to me it was just one crazy kid, but that had, you know, mental, psychological problem. But he was oppressed by the devil. And there were times when he was nice, and then he was evil, and it was. And I remember parents even used to scare kids with his name. "If you're naughty, Dentor's gonna come for you." Right? That's stuff legends are made of, right? I remember this as a kid growing up. In that kind of fear of you know, we didn't know. And this guy was that guy. He ran around the village naked. He cut himself. He was bleeding. And he would scream. They would hear his screaming among the tombs in the middle of the night. And then Jesus came. Oh, come on, somebody. In the midst of the torment, Jesus turned up. Now, maybe he heard about Jesus, but he knew Jesus was there, and he ran. The Bible says he ran, and he fell at his feet. I really do believe that the posture of humility is the greatest posture towards freedom for any person. When we recognize that we are powerless in setting ourselves free, and when we recognize that only the power of Jesus can set us free, we open ourselves for heaven to access us and clean our lives fully from habits, from attitudes, come on somebody, from things that we care, from depression, oppression, you name it, Jesus' name is above it. Amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? That's the kind of God we serve. The one who said, "The devil came to kill, to steal, and destroy. But he came, Jesus came, to give life and life more abundantly." And I can tell you which side of that equation he wants you to be in. Come on, somebody. A full, abundant life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Would you just bow your heads for a few moments? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray, Father God, that right now you would just cause our hearts to recognize the fullness of your power in setting us free. Now, I'm going to try to address three things tonight, because it'll be amiss for me not to do this. I just sense in the Holy Spirit that tonight there are people here that have been experiencing some unusual occurrences in your life that you can't explain, but you just know it's not from God. And and you want to see that broken. And maybe it's over your life, maybe it's over a member of your family. But you're powerless in dealing with it. And tonight you want freedom to enter your home. That's one thing. Second thing is, I just sense in my spirit there are people here tonight who sense while I'm teaching this tonight, you feel in your spirit that God wants to use you to help people be delivered. You just know in your heart that God's called you to help people break these chains. In fact, some of you have experienced that, and maybe you become dormant in doing that and lost your boldness. I don't know. And thirdly, I want to pray for people who feel themselves bound by something, and you want God to set you free tonight from that thing. It could just be a thought that keeps going over and over in your head, and you can't sleep as a result of it. And it could just be some kind of torment. It could be an anxious thought that just keeps going over and over, and it wakes you up in the middle of the night. Whatever it might be, God can set you free. Maybe there's a habit in your life that you just cannot, by sheer willpower, break. God can break that tonight. The only condition to freedom is humility and approaching God, recognizing that He's the only one that can set you free. Amen. So those three, I just want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. If you fall in one of those categories, if you fall in one of those categories, stand up to your feet right now, just where you are. If you're in one of those categories, I'm not going to say which one, because I just really believe that there's freedom coming in this house tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Just wait on the Lord for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for the release of your power in their lives right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I come against attitudes and habits and every habitation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I break the chains that bind their mind and their hearts. I come against the torments. I come against the spirit of the spoiler and the destroyer. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. And right now, I just declare freedom over your home. I declare freedom over your home tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Over your mind and over your heart. Whatever is bound in your life, be set free in Jesus' name. Be set free. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for responding. You know what I did tonight really is just an opening. What I did tonight is just kind of put the wedge on the door. And, you know, we want you to be open. You know, if there's something that's going on in your life and you want to talk to the ministry team at some point, we'd be more than happy to minister with you. But I just really sense the leading of the Spirit towards that this evening. But I really do believe that God The reason you go through what you go through is because God wants you to set somebody else free. You know, you are going to be a catalyst in seeing people set free over your lives. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Give the Lord a clap of praise.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.